So I don't know where to start, whether to start with the acronyms, which we use basically out of need, because our offices all have such long names, and they're often not terribly descriptive, or the sheer number of people here. So I do want to recognize the co-authors here, and I think this really speaks to the fact that this is an interagency effort within the Department of Health and Human Services, and that we have a lot of support from some really remarkable contractors at Apt Associates and Mathematica. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I just wanted to give a little bit of an overview of what I'm going to discuss today. The focus of my talk really is on the evaluation piece, but we can't really jump into that without sort of giving a little bit of background about what it is that we are evaluating. So sort of by necessity, I need to cover some of the often fairly newly funded teen pregnancy prevention programs out of the Department of Health and Human Services, primarily the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, which was authorized in the 2010 Appropriations Bill, and the Personal Responsibility and Education Program, which we call PREP, which was funded out of healthcare reform. And then I will move into discussing the teen pregnancy prevention evaluation efforts, which there's a strategy of combining and kind of leveraging resources of having both grantee-led evaluations as well as four federal evaluation studies. And then end by briefly talking about our evidence review. So as I alluded to, we really do have a very strong coordination around this. And I wanted to just spend a couple minutes highlighting it because I think in many ways it's unique. I mean, the Department of Health and Human Services has 65,000 employees. It's enormous. And I think the level at which we've been able to closely partner and work together across the Office of Adolescent Health, which is in the Office of the Secretary, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, which is my office, the Administration for Children and Families, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's been enormously helpful for us to actually be able to get as much done as we have in the last couple of years to implement new innovative or new evidence-based and innovative programs, as well as to really come up with a coherent evaluation strategy that we think is really going to contribute a lot to the field over time. All right, so I'm going to start by describing the Office of Adolescent Health Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. So there are this is a two-tiered program. So the bulk of the funding you'll see here, $75 million of it, goes to replicate evidence-based programs. And the department undertook a review, which is sort of my last quick slide, to identify what are evidence-based program models. And we came up with a list of 28 program models from which grantees could choose to implement. The second tier of this is a set of research and demonstration projects. And these are programs that either, these are program models that develop, or grants that develop, replicate, refine, and test additional models and innovative strategies for preventing teen pregnancy. And for the research and demonstrations piece, it really is a combination of really brand new or untested innovative strategies, as well as significant adaptations of existing evidence-based programs. So it's about half and half, roughly, when you look across the grants, how many are testing something new and how many are really testing a significant adaptation of an evidence-based program model. So also under this research and demonstration projects, there are two collaborative efforts under this tier. The first is testing innovative strategies through a partnership with the Office of Adolescent Health and the Administration for Children and Families. This is actually additional money. This is money coming out of that PREP program, which is, as you'll see there, it's about $10 million, the bottom ACF PREP, to test innovative strategies. And then the Office of Adolescent Health has $15 million of their $25 million going to test innovative strategies. In addition, OAH and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention partnered to test sort of an innovative strategy of a community-wide approach. And there's about $10 million that goes to support that. And I'll talk about both the PREP innovative strategies and the community-wide innovative strategies in a bit more detail in a minute. So for the teen pregnancy prevention grants, so again, this is the replication grants, and then about $15 million in the research and demonstration grants. These are five-year, really cooperative agreement grants, which means that grantees work very closely with the Office of Adolescent Health in implementing these. These aren't kind of your standard grants where you get a grant, you send in a report every year, and that's kind of it. There really is a lot of in-depth interaction with the grantees and the project officers. And then the first year was fiscal year 2010, so the planning year has wrapped up for all the grantees, and all are moving into their year two full implementation. Just a little aside, I think that the planning year has been enormously beneficial, both from the grantee side. I think they really felt like it was a luxury to be able to think through exactly how they were going to do this, make sure all their partnerships were solid, get the training that they need in this first year prior to moving to full implementation. And that's also been enormously helpful from the federal side, because this was a brand new grant program, a brand new office administering it, and it gave us time to develed performance measures, to get technical assistance in place and all that. So these grants are really a diverse set of grantees serving youth in 32 states and the District of Columbia. Program settings include schools, community sites, and clinics. And there are 59 Tier 1 AB grantees, replication grantees, and the AB just means that they've been funded under $1 million. Compared to 16 Tier 1 CD replication grantees, and the CD refers to the sort of bigger income level of $1 million to $4 million. And this really gives the opportunity to replicate these on a bigger scale. And then finally, there are 19 of the Tier 2 research and demonstration grantees. All right, so here's the partnership. I want to talk to you about the partnership between OAH and CDC for the additional $10 million in the research and demonstration grant monies. The purpose of this is to test the effectiveness of innovative, multi-component, community-wide initiatives in reducing rates of teen pregnancy and birth in communities that really have the highest rates. It's kind of predicated on the notion that community-wide initiatives can better leverage service and prevention systems in these kind of high-need communities. And there's an emphasis on serving African-American and Latino youth ages 15 to 19. These are also five-year grants with one planning year. And they are also in beginning year two. So the five key components of the community-wide initiative are community mobilization and sustainability, increasing access to family planning services, particularly in teen-friendly clinics. There's a big emphasis on not just getting them services, but services that are really open and friendly to adolescents. Educating and motivating youth, a lot of this is through evidence-based programming. Educating stakeholders to inform youth issues and to really see this as a valuable issue. And then the fifth is again, this emphasis on working with diverse communities. And the kind of model for this is that they fund five national organizations to provide training and technical assistance to eight state and community-based organizations and one Title X family planning provider. And that those organizations in turn work directly with 150 local organizations who are directly providing services. Okay. So then for the Administration for Children and Families, this is a graphic that basically describes the different teen pregnancy prevention programs under ACF. This basically boils down to multiple components of the Personal Responsibility and Education Program, this PREP program, and then the Title V, Section 510 state abstinence grants that were also reinstated in healthcare reform. So here you have state PREP. These are formula grants that go to the states to implement evidence-based programs. The PREP innovative strategies, that's the piece I was talking about where it's in a joint project with the Office of Adolescent Health, again, to really try to test and identify innovative and new programs. There's also a tribal PREP program. And then this last piece, the bottom, is the PREP competitive grant. And essentially, this is a pool to be determined because any states that that choose not to accept their formula grants, in fiscal years 2011 and 2012, I'm sorry, fiscal years 2010 and 2011, will be used to competitively award three-year grants within those states to community-based organizations. And there are a handful of states that have chosen not to accept the funds. So if you're looking for money, keep your eye out on the FY 2012 announcement. So the core components of the PrEP program, again, there's really a focus on targeting vulnerable populations. They have grantees that serve youth in and aging out of foster care, youth in the juvenile justice system, Latino and other minority population youth, as well as the tribal youth. Again, it's a focus on implementing evidence-based programs for these state formula grants. And then sort of the unique thing about the PrEP program is the adulthood preparation subjects, which have to be included. So the language is a little looser on around evidence-based programs for the PrEP because of this need to include adulthood preparation subjects. Some of these are naturally in these kind of curriculum, things related to healthy life skills, adolescent development, for some parent and child communication, but it also extends to other kinds of subjects like financial literacy and healthy relationships. Okay, so again, the PrEP Innovative Strategies Program, 5-year grants with one planning year. The PrEP State grants, the formula grants, on average are expected to reach about 600 to 3,500 youth in a single year. And the range here is the range within a state. So some states are serving as few as 200, and some states are serving as many, or expecting to serve as many as 20,000 youth. And then the tribal PrEP grants, which were just awarded. All right, so now to the meat of this. So what is our, I should have gone back, but what is our federal evaluation strategy? There's a lot of new money that's going out to support programs, and we think it's really important to support this with strong evaluation activities. So this, again, is being done through a combination of grantee-led evaluations as well as federal-led evaluations. So at the grantee level, there are 41 grantees across the OAH program and the ACF PrEP program that are doing their own rigorous evaluations. And they are asked to use up to 25% of their grant funds for evaluation, and that's pretty considerable for some of the grantees. When you take into account that for Tier 1 replication grants, only those who are funded between $1 million and $4 million are required to have this rigorous evaluation. So it's a minimum of $250,000 per year that's going to the evaluations, and there is actually a cap of $500,000 per year that can go towards evaluation. In addition, all of the Tier 2 research and demonstration grants are required to have a rigorous evaluation since they are supposed to be research and demonstration grants that are testing innovations. And then again, the PrEP Innovative Strategies grantees kind of fall into this category of also being required to do a rigorous evaluation. We keep saying rigorous. This is in the legislation, and it is very important to us to be able to have high-quality studies. And in fact, most of the grantee-level evaluations are RCTs. And when I say most, I think there are about 4 that are quasi-experimental designs. And they have to have at least a 1-year follow-up. So it's not just a pre-post. So this could not be done if there were not strong evaluation technical assistance in place. And this is being provided by Mathematica Policy Research. And the activities include reviewing evaluation plans, monitoring at least monthly, which is essentially, monitoring sounds very government, but it is an opportunity for the grantee and the TA provider to really sit down and hash out challenges that are coming up or issues related to the design, and discuss progress on evaluation activities. They attend the annual grantee conferences. They develop webinars and other kinds of supports for these grantees. And I just wanted to give you a flavor in this planning year, some of the common revisions that have occurred to the local evaluation plans. A lot has related to power issues, so really increasing the sample size in order to have better statistical power to detect impacts. Revising the control group conditions, and sort of changing design to a more rigorous model kind of go hand in hand. A lot of this is essentially moving from a quasi-experimental design to a random assignment design. So this is, we think, complemented by federal-level evaluation studies. And part of the reason that we really are focused a lot on evaluation and really putting a lot of money into the evaluation is that while we do have 28 evidence-based program models on our list, the evidence behind a lot of them is, I think, thinner than what people generally realize. So for those 28 studies, all but one are on there on the basis of one rigorous evaluation. So there's only one of those program models that has more than one rigorous evaluation that has shown evidence. So we're trying to improve this over time and get a little bit more depth behind our evidence base. So to this effect, the first federal level evaluation study is what we're calling the Teen Pregnancy Prevention or TPP replication study. It is examining multiple replications of a single evidence-based program model. We are going to be examining both the impacts and the implementation characteristics of these replicated evidence-based programs. So we're not just interested in the impacts, but particularly when we're asking these grantees to replicate evidence-based programs, probably the more interesting story here, frankly, is going to be how did that happen? The Office of Adolescent Health has a lot of requirements in place for the grantees and has tried to provide a lot of support around defining what is fidelity, offering fidelity monitoring tools, but to really see where the challenges are in rolling out these programs, taking them to a bigger scale. Already we've encountered things where not all of the programs that are on the list were necessarily implementation ready. And so, to their credit, the Office of Adolescent Health has worked really hard with some of the program developers to provide more training and assistance materials. So at the impact level, we do think that having multiple replications of a program model is really important. So in addition to having individual site-level impacts, we will be able to pool the data across sites. And we're hoping that this provides us with a bigger sample size that we might actually be able to detect differences on things like births or pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections that we wouldn't have the sample size to do at any individual site. And also, again, to look for some important impacts on specific subgroups that, again, pooling data enables us to do. So this is a 6-year study. It began last fall with a feasibility and design phase, and it's going to continue through the fall of 2016. The study is being conducted by Apt Associates, and it's being managed by my office, ASPE, in partnership with the Office of Adolescent Health. So I mentioned it is an experimental evaluation design that we are looking at multiple replications of specific program models. And that translates to 3 grantee replications of 3 different program models for a total of 9 sites. We've chosen Safer Sex, which is a clinical intervention, Reducing the Risk, and Quidité. Reducing the Risk and Quidité is just very popular evidence-based programs that are being implemented, which is part of the reason that we chose that. And then Safer Sex has also, within the grantee pool, been a popular one to serve. We don't have a lot of programs, evidence-based programs, that fit in a clinic setting. So I mentioned again the importance of the implementation study. This is really to describe the program design and operations in each site, to describe issues and challenges that come up related to replicating with fidelity, as well as to help interpret impact results. So, I don't think we're going to go here, but if we don't see impacts, I mean, is it because there really wasn't enough of the program being implemented? I say I don't think that's really going to happen because there is so much involvement and close coordination with the grantees that it seems pretty tough that nothing would be implemented or wouldn't be implemented with pretty good fidelity. In addition, really to help identify lessons for future service delivery, how do you roll out these programs? And how do they get taken up in the field? So the impact data collection, there'll be a baseline, short-term follow-up, and a longer-term follow-up. So the second federal evaluation really focuses not on the replication piece, but on the innovative piece. This is the evaluation of adolescent pregnancy prevention approaches, also an experimental study. This actually preceded the study preceded the new grant programs. And so you'll see here we have 7 sites. One of them is a non-federally funded site, and that's a site that came on board prior to hints of this new legislation being passed. I will say Mathematica is not just being slow. They were slowed down a bit purposefully by the government when we knew that these new grantee programs were coming out in order to allow for some of the sites to be grant sites. So we do have 3 of the Office of Adolescent Health funded grantees, and then 3 of the ACF-funded Innovative Strategies grantees. Also implementation study, baseline, short and longer term follow-up. So again, here we have diverse program types. I'm happy to, if you have questions, I can talk more specifically about the grantee sites that have been selected. But it includes an abstinence until marriage program, peer-led comprehensive sex ed program, which is kind of interesting because I think there's a lot of interest in having peer-led programs, but not a lot of evidence behind the use of peers, as well as a mobile contraceptive program, which is pretty innovative. Settings include middle schools, a summer employment program, as well as a program that reaches youth in foster care. And then the timelines, the non-federally funded site, data collection is underway, and the remaining, the grantee sites, the data collection is beginning this fall. So for this community-wide strategy, the partnership with CDC and OAH, there's also an evaluation corresponding to that. Again, there's a grantee-level evaluation, which really is focusing on some of these intermediate outcomes, like increasing access to teen-friendly clinical services and reducing barriers in the communities. And then the federal evaluation is really focused on community-level outcomes, where you're going to really see these changes in behaviors. So there also two different phases of the community-wide. There's the cross-community, which is looking at all of their funded sites, their 10 intervention communities, and examining the change in birth rates over time in those 10 intervention communities relative to a matched comparison community. So the community-wide evaluation is a quasi-experimental design. And then they're going in-depth on two of the sites to really focus on change in youth knowledge and attitudes and behaviors in the intervention community. So really being able to get a little bit more information from participants. And then the last federal evaluation is the PrEP multi-component evaluation. And this is the newest evaluation. It was just awarded about a month ago to Mathematica Policy Research. The goals of this, it's a multi-pronged approach. But this is really focused on the PrEP state program, by and large, where there are no other evaluations focused on that. So the goals are to document the program design and implementation, to collect and analyze performance measure data, and to assess the effectiveness of selected programs. Oops. Oh, sorry. And there are three components. So there is a design and implementation study, which really is enabling us to get a better sense of what the states are doing with the money. Formula grants are a little bit different. They're often kind of a black box for the federal government. The money goes to the states. You know, they generally have parameters within which they have to use it, but it's not always clear exactly how the dollars are being spent. So the descriptive study is aimed at understanding that better. There's also the performance analysis study, wherein they'll be developing and collecting performance measures for the program. And then finally, the impact and implementation study, which will be conducted in probably about 4 to 5 specific PrEP-funded sites within states. One thing I should mention about the coordination of all of these evaluations, it's not just sort of coordinating at the level of making sure that our research questions aren't duplicating one another, but it's also doing things like identifying common core measures to use across all of these evaluations so that hopefully at the end of the day we can sort of speak to impacts and implementation across the different programs, not just sort of study by study. And then lastly, I just wanted to throw this in here. We do consider this part of our evaluation activities. It's the evidence review from which we obtain these 28 evidence-based program models. This is an independent review conducted by Mathematica. There are periodic updates. I just wanted to highlight that we will have a new update coming out. It's actually the first update after the initial 28 list was released, probably in about a month. And actually, there's a poster session immediately after this where we'll be presenting this in a little bit more detail. All right, thank you very much.